AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
The craziest ending to a playoff baseball game I've ever seen just happened, and the Dodgers have advanced, beat the Phillies in an absolute white-knuckle, brutal 11-inning street fight, as Mookie Betts called it, for the Dodgers to win 2-1 in the bottom of the 11th inning. They're moving on to the NLCS for the second straight year. And we're back. It's Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger, Lord Paramount of South Bay in Los Angeles, California. And I gotta say, those glasses are looking stunning on you today.
Hey, man, they feel like it's everything's tinted in championship blue. That's right. For the NL Championship Series, the Dodgers have punched their ticket. Although, Jesse, it was a bit of a hanging chad. It wasn't the most perfect punch I've ever seen. You like that?
Yeah.
My millennials will remember the Bush-Gore. What was that, 2001? It doesn't matter.
It was 99, because I think...
It doesn't matter. Alternate timeline shit,
I don't remember.
Who cares, dude? Yeah. Anyways, it was an ugly win is my point.
We just lost half the audience with that.
It was nasty. We might have to cut that out. Anyways, it was a nasty, nasty, nasty game for our offense. But boy, were the pitchers dealing. I mean, Glasnow looked incredible. The best I think he's looked all season, when the lights were the brightest. It felt really good seeing the Tyler Glasnow you hear everybody rave about during the regular season, who just hasn't seemed to be able to, you know, put it together in terms of health in Dodger blue. But boy, did this make it worth the wait, Jess. Absolutely dominant six innings for the guy. Three walks, six innings pitched, two hits, three walks, eight Ks on a very slim 83 pitches, dude. It was just delicious to me. We'll get into more of that later, but man, as good as the pitching was, our offense was abysmal. And my God, I was just a sweating fat pig, Jesse Rowe.
This was just a classic pitcher's duel for sure, but like also just a classic playoff baseball game.
Yes.
Two teams that are throwing everything at the wall to win the game. And, you know, both teams did some things that they wouldn't normally do on the pitching side of things to ensure run prevention in this game. You know, the Phillies threw out Christopher Sanchez, who was just excellent. Really, really, really good, you know, and really good in both games that he pitched this series.
Yeah.
He gave Shohei Ohtani fits in this series, and we'll talk about Shohei a little bit later, but...
Yeah, he went 6 1/3 today, gave up five hits, 95 pitches, 5 Ks, but it just looked like nobody had a good game plan against him all day.
Yeah, and the... and then they also threw in Duran, you know, earlier than they would have.
Yeah, he went an inning in 2/3. It was crazy to see him out there so early.
And then Jesus Luzardo, who I thought looked great in relief as well. So they did things they wouldn't normally do, but, you know, makes sense. Their season was on the line here. So they had to win. So they threw it all out. And, you know, it showed they threw their best pitchers out there in this game. And, you know, the Dodgers... the only runs that they scored in this game were off of a bases loaded walk and a walk-off error. So let's get to it here, because this is the big moment of the game. And Orion Kerkering is a name that a lot of you might not know, before this game, but you're going to know this name now because he is going to be a part of baseball history, basically. Like, this guy's name is going to be associated with, like, the Bill Buckners of the world. It's not it's not in the World Series, but it is a he is going to be a memorable name in Phillies history, especially which I think is a tough thing for him. But so what happened was, in the 11th inning, the Dodgers managed to get a base runner on. Hold on a second. I got to get the box score here. I have it. Because they pulled Rob Thompson pulled Lizardo with Kike coming up, I believe.
Yes.
And I actually thought that that was a mistake, because I thought Lizardo looked great. And I know that Kike's numbers, his splits against lefties, he's obviously a lefty masher. So I do understand it. But my thought was, like, hey, you got to get outs next inning as well. Lizardo is used to being stretched out, and he's a really good starting pitcher. I think he was an all-star this year. I forget, but I thought that he could have gone longer. But anyways.
He did have three Ks in that inning and two-thirds. He was dealing.
So it started off with Freeman striking out, starting off the inning. And then Edmund gets a single on a really good at bat. I think he ran the count full, and then got on. So next up was Smith, who struck out. So
real quick, and Tommy Edmund would be replaced on the base path by Kim Hyesung, my dog, my boy.
And I do have a note on Kim in a second too, but. Tommy, because he's dealing with an ankle thing, so he got replaced. And then so Will Smith comes and strikes out. So then that's when Rob Thompson decides to go to Orion Kerkering, because there's two outs. Now there's – sorry. Yeah, because – no, Muncy. I'm sorry. Then Muncy gets a single. Muncy gets a single in the next at bat. And then he pulls the hook on to get Kerkering up. So now there's runners on first and second. And it is Kike Hernandez, and he's bringing in Orion Kerkering. Now, Kike ends up having a great at-bat and walking, but it seems like he might have, like, pulled something or, like, hurt his calf or his ankle or something in this at-bat.
Yeah, something tweaked. I thought maybe he might have been having, like, a cramp or a little spasm. That's why he stayed in, but we'll see about that.
So then up comes Andy Páez. Bases loaded, two outs, 11th inning, chance to walk off and go to the NLCS. And I'm
and when we say that Páez has had a dog shit series, he has had a dog shit series. Andy Páez is batting .042 in the playoffs.
With a 122 OPS.
Just god awful. Sorry for interrupting, Jess. Just had to give a little context on Páez.
You might as well have Kershaw hit. I mean, I'm serious. Like, it's been that bad. So I was laughing, texting my friends, and I'm like, all the shit I've been saying about Páez this series, it would be kind of fitting that he was the one to do it, that he's up in this situation. It just kind of makes sense. Oh, yeah. Like, because what did I say before this series started? I was like,
it's just baseball, man. That's such a baseball, like, you know, like the ball's going to find you. You know, Muncy comes in on an offensive substitution. And I think the very start of the next inning, when I think Sheehan comes in, or I don't know what inning it is, but a laser gets smacked to Muncy at third. And he makes a great play to throw across. I think it was Trey Turner. But it's just, you know, about being prepared for the moment, because the ball's going to find you. And this was one of those.
Páez, in this situation, I mean, I can't think of, like, a worse right now in the Dodgers lineup, like, a guy that I trust the least to make lighting. I got to fix this. I trust the least to, like, make contact in this situation is probably Andy Páez, right? Orion
colder than ice cream, brother.
Yeah, he made his pitch. Orion Kerkering made his pitch. But he clearly wasn't ready for the game come to him. He knew that he had to make a pitch. He didn't know that he was going to have to make a play, because Páez gets jammed, hits a little bleeder right in front of the mound that Kerkering couldn't field at first, like, actually had trouble fielding. And by the time he picks up the ball, Andy Páez is halfway to first. All Kerkering has to do is turn left, throw to first base, inning's over, we go to the 12th. Instead, he panicked and he threw home and threw the ball away, and Kim Hyesung scored, and the Dodgers advanced. I mean, the visual of this moment was insane. Like you
it was unreal. I'm
never going to get it out of my head. I can't believe that's how the Dodgers won this game. I'm sure Phillies fans are just like besides themselves right now. It's just heartbreaking.
And we just want to say officially from the Deferred Collusion Pod, Orion Kirkering, my God, my heart goes out to you. Just the humanity of it. I mean, Dave Roberts had a pretty good quote on it after the game. He said it's brutal. It's one of those things that it's a PFP, a pitcher's fielding practice. He's done it 1,000 times. And right there, he was so focused, I'm sure, on just getting the hitter and just sort of forgot the outs and the situation. And that is kind of what it seemed like, right? Like
that's 100%.
He kind of gave up on the play. Like the ball got squirted past him just a little too far. He didn't play it super clean when he's picking it up. And all the while in his peripheral vision, he has Ha-Seong Kim hustling down the third baseline, closing that distance that's all in front of him. And I'm sure Páez is already out of his peripheral. So he's subconsciously just like, home, got to stop that run. Not even remembering that there's two outs, you know, just breathe. And it's tough, Jess. I think we were talking before we jumped on, and you said he's 24. I mean, that is, I mean, I know he's a professional. I'm not making any excuses for his age, but just to have the weight of that error on your shoulders at 24, I really hope like helps forge this guy and galvanize his career. And I hope he has a long and successful career with a ton of success. I don't know why I said that twice, but I just want nothing but the best for him because you just saw him hands on his knees, defeated. It's going to be an iconic image, you know, moving forward and Dodger lore. The team celebrating behind him. I don't know. Did you see the replay, Jess, as he's making the throw to JT Realmuto? It's sailing, and you could just see the infielders, the Phillies players, just going, oh, just reacting behind him. I mean, it's an all-time heartbreaker. I mean, one of those nightmare scenarios you have.
And you know, it's crazy because they were in good position there against the Dodgers bullpen because the Dodgers had kind of exhausted their best bullets at that point. You know, they were going to have to go to Trinan to get some outs there most likely.
And you and I were texting about it. I said, oh, great. Trinan warming up in the bullpen will cook.
So it was obviously it was the game winner, but it kind of felt like advantage Phillies a little bit at that point. If they can get out of it. And, you know, to his credit, man, he made his pitch, you know, he made the pitch to get out of it. I just think that like in that moment, in that mindset, you're focused on making the pitch. Not in a million years is he thinking about making the play. You know what I mean? He's not thinking about that. It's like, I have to execute a pitch here. And then the ball comes at him. I think actually when he panicked is when he didn't field it cleanly. I think if he had fielded it cleanly, instincts would have kicked in. He would have just thrown to first. But because he juggled it a little bit, I think that's where his panic kicked in. Because then he was probably scared that Páez was going to beat the throw, and Páez was not going to beat the throw.
Honestly, man, I think that he lost Páez in his peripheral as he went down to get the ball a second time.
Right. Yeah.
And he could just see Kim rushing forward. So I probably think he's like, oh, fuck, I just got to get the closest out. Philly's manager, Rob Thompson, was waiting for him. I don't know if you saw that at the steps and just gave him a big hug. He was talking about it. He said, of O'Kirkren that he just kind of got caught in the – oh, sorry, O'Kirkren. Orion Kirkren got caught up in the moment a little bit, and he just feels for him, putting it all on his shoulders. And, I mean, dude,
you're going to be a Buckner in Philly's lore now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's like, what if you get that out? Do the Phillies go on and win force game five? You know, it's like, it's just a huge what if, and it sucks that it ends that way for them. I'm not complaining, but you know, I just do feel for the guy because, you know, he has no choice basically now. He has to learn from it and move forward and use it to make himself stronger and better. Cause if he harps on it it's just like, it's kind of over for you. If you don't learn from it, you have no choice. So, sucks for him.
Yeah. Hang in there, kid. Keep your head high. Hey, you're competing at the highest level. It's all impressive. You made the pitch. I hang your hat on that, you know? Yeah. You'll get an opportunity again. The ball will find him again. But Jess, this is
really quick note about Kim.
About the crate. What's that? Oh, dude, yeah, he didn't touch the plate.
He didn't touch the plate. If that, even if the throw is on, he's good. Like, even if JT catches it and he's not tagging it, I think JT could have turned around and tagged him. Because
right, how fucking crazy would that have been?
He didn't touch the plate at first. He went back and touched it. That was wild. I mean, everything about that moment was insane. I don't think we'll ever see that again. You know, just
yeah. I was about to say, Jess, that's about the craziest way to walk off a game.
It's the second time ever in Major League history that a series.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This has ended on an error. There were some people saying it was the first time, but you pointed out that actually Rougned Odor made an error in 2016 against the Texas, against the Toronto Blue Jays on a double play transition where the Blue Jays ended up scoring on a bad throw. So
yeah, Josh Donaldson would score on a bad throw to first base by Rougned Odor, and it would cause a walk-off error. That is brutal. And
so that means it's the first time in National League playoff history where a series
first time in National League
on a walk-off error. So
man, what an infamous legend to happen right before our eyes. Jess, this is the third time that our Los Angeles Dodgers have ended a postseason series with a walk-off. Bill Russell's single against the Fightin' Phillies in Game 4 of the 1978 NLCS, a little bit before my time. But you know what wasn't? My boy Chris Taylor's homer in the 2021 NL wildcard game against those pesky St. Louis Cardinals. Wild as hell, Jess.
It was definitely a brutal game to watch, obviously.
Dude, this has been a stressful ass series. I mean, talk about a game of inches throughout the whole series. You know, a couple plays here, a couple plays there, rallies never start. You know, a throw on the third baseline stops a run from scoring. You know, who knows? It's crazy that teams this good would come down to not who could slug the best or smash the best, but who can, you know, make these tiny little plays. There were some great defensive plays today. The Phillies were robbing some outs. I mean, and credit where credit's due. Kike made a great play at third. There was just some great all-around infield play. Mookie had some great digs. I'm just so impressed right now with the infield play. I wish Teoscar could pick it up. I almost thought he was going to let Schwarber's double get past him in the first inning. And I just was, you know, I was like half expecting, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm not trying to get too negative, Jess.
Just an incredibly, you know, even game three, Dodgers lose 8-2.
Yeah.
It was a much closer game than that. You know, For reasons that I'm not ready to talk about yet, but you know, Clayton Kershaw was left in there after an inning and he kind of imploded in his second inning of your work. You know, I don't know. Like, I saw people getting at Doc for not going to Tanner Scott. Apparently Tanner Scott has some sort of abscess thing that he had to get removed. So he's not going to be available probably even for the NLCS. Tanner Scott
would
not be on the roster.
They are saying that he had a lower body abscess removal. Yeah. Some people on Dodger Twitter were speculating it could have been a hernia. But, yeah, he is no longer available. Got replaced with Justin Robleski. Robo, you know, we love that guy. Apparently he loves the ladies, and they are outing him. He is a cheater, pumpkin eater, allegedly, of course.
Yeah.
But we wish him all the best. Hey, You know so, what shuts up some cheating allegations, dude? Winning a World Series. So you go do you, Robo. Hey, I got your back, dude.
Ladies,
he wasn't out cheating on you. He was with me, dude. We were going over game film. All you got to do is throw some strikes, brother. Get some outs.
Winning the World Series might actually make the cheating allegations worse, but we're not gonna get there. We're
a non-judgment pod, dude. We don't kink shame. We don't, but we are a monogamous pod, dude. All right, so we love you guys out there.
So really quick, I do want to let's get back because Tyler Glass now is the number four starter on the Dodgers, and
he looked like an ace today, huh?
And I want to give him just some love to say, like, I did think that he got pulled a little bit early in this game. You know, he was only at 83 pitches through six. I think that Doc could have let him go. And, you know, it almost cost us the game because Emmett Sheehan came in and pitched well, but he was unable to catch a play at first base on a double play ball that led to a run scoring double on the next batter.
Jesse, pulling Glass now, not letting him throw the seventh, 83 pitches. That was definitely our what the fuck are you doing, Dave, moment of the game.
Yeah.
Game two, of course, had Blake Treinen coming into close, and game three had Kershaw coming back out for the eighth inning. All just, you know, we're a pro Dave Roberts pod here. We're not. You know, anti-Dave at all. But some of those calls were just, you know, they could cost you a game, cost you a series. And, it, you know, it's just, I mean, infuriating sometimes. But
you just can't wait. Sometimes he just, like, he can't wait to make a managerial move sometimes. You know, I thought he managed a good game today, letting Roki go the way that he did.
Yep.
We will talk about Roki, too. Don't worry. But letting Roki go as long as he did, I thought that was kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, credit to him for doing it. I do think he coached a good game. I just thought that was maybe like a little too early to pull. Let Tyler have a chance to get through the seventh. He was so good. And, you know, that contract, I know.
Jesse, it reeked of Kevin Cash in the 2020 World Series pulling Blake Snell. And, you know, they paid the price for that. You know, baseball itself, the gods of baseball punished them for pulling Snell, you know.
Yeah, because you never know if the guy you're bringing in is going to have it that day. You know that Glasnow had it right now, and he wasn't at a high pitch count. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
He was so good, Brandon. And, you know, I was one of those guys that, like, I was posing the question if this was a bad contract because he started having shoulder problems earlier in the year. And you're like, oh, my God, this guy just can't stay healthy. He's everything that all the critics of that contract said, they were right. Because all that really mattered is, will Tyler Glass now be healthy for a postseason run? And so far he has been, and he's gone 7 1/3, and he has not allowed a run.
Okay, you know, love that.
When inning in a third in game one, and then he pitched six scoreless here in game four, and he has lived up to the contract so far. And absolutely, this is exactly why the Dodgers paid him that money, because that when this guy is healthy, I've been saying it for a long time, this guy is a Cy Young waiting to happen if he just pitches a full season. You know, he really
shouts out, dude.
And he was so good. Kudos, man. You backed it up. He really did.
Yeah, I mean, Sheehan looked pretty good. He had that error, couldn't squeeze that ball, looking for the bag. But hey, dude, let's look at the bright side. Glass now, Sheehan, Roki, Vesia, they combined to throw a four hitter, you know, this super potent Phillies lineup that put up eight the night before. It's just, it makes me feel really good. Vesia gets some big outs.
Cubs just took a 7-0 lead, by the way, a monster home run over the crowd at Wrigley Field across the street from Carson Kelly. Wow. It's 7-0 Cubs right now.
Wow. That's looking good for a 5-game series in my book. And that just helps our Dodgers.
It's good for us.
That just helps our Dodgers no matter what. Yeah. But you know what really helps our Dodgers, Jesse? Roki fucking Sasaki. Sorry for cursing. Three scoreless. A perfect 9 up, 9 down. Jesse, I don't know if you know this. He was averaging 99.5 miles an hour on his fastball. Hitless relief, dude. How does that sound? Dude, about time we've got somebody.
I don't know how anybody's going to hit this guy. Thank God we didn't go to a game five here, because Roki, I'm not sure. I think he threw close to 40 pitches. I don't know if he would have been available for a game five with, you know, him recovering from his shoulder stuff earlier in the year. But
yeah, Roki threw 36 pitches, 26 for strikes.
Okay. This guy has been a literal lifesaver for the Dodgers. Yes. since coming back. He is everything.
Angel on our shoulders.
He is everything that he's lived up to the hype in terms of what his stuff has looked like since he came off the IL and has filled in relief. I mean, he has.
And Jesse, can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, dude. To your point, dude, he does have it all. He looks incredible right now. And I just want to know, where were all these fucking cucks talking shit about him being emotional at the beginning of the season? He's gone through all this crap. He went through the minors, got shelled, was just openly being called the biggest bust of, like, the modern, like, I don't know, whatever era we're in with international players. And they were really dogging on this dude. So I just want to say, where are all these fucking dorks now, dude? While my boy is shoving 100-mile-an-hour fucking heaters down your throat and just spinning off those nasty, nasty splitters, dude.
Jonathan Lucroy and Eric Hosmer should issue an apology to Roki Sasaki right fucking now. He looks like an absolute assassin out there. And not just that, like, just think about, put some perspective, his postseason performance so far. The only reason he's only given up, I believe, one hit in his postseason so far. I could be wrong about that. It could be two. But what, and the only reason why he gave up that hit was because Ben Rortvedt was unable to catch a pop fly, foul ball pop fly, which he dropped, turned out to be an error, and then he gave up a hit. Otherwise, this guy hasn't given up anything. He has been absolutely nasty. And, you know, the Phillies didn't even really put any good swings on it. They clearly, like, JT Realmuto, who had a really good series, was really struggling picking up his fastball after the splitter. And, man.
Yeah, had a couple of in-between swings on a couple of back-to-back splitters that just seemed like he didn't. Yeah, he didn't know where to go with it. It was sick.
He's the hero of this game, in my opinion, which is kind of why I'm like, what's up with the broadcast where they're interviewing Páez after the game? No offense to Páez, but you've been terrible.
Yeah.
You didn't really get a game-winning hit. Like, and you don't even speak English. That's not a knock. I'm not saying that you should have to speak English. I'm just saying, if you're going to interview somebody, like, why not interview Roki?
Why not Roki? I mean, those are the MVPs of the game, right? It's Roki. It's Glasnow. They give you a combined perfect game, you know, 9 innings. No,
Dodgers,
you know,
just won the series.
No,
and you're Roki interviewing Páez.
Like, pretty funny. It is pretty funny.
What are you doing?
But, hey,
what is this broadcast?
Dude, and also that TBS broadcast was just shitting on Tommy Edman. Just, he makes the throw
every
after
time he had the ball. They were talking about him every time. Oh, well, he, you know, it seems like he figured it out that time. It's shut the fuck up. He made
it was pretty
throw.
Disrespectful. Yeah. I do want to just give a shout out to my boy Mookie Betts. 385 in the postseason, 429 on base, 577 slugging. A couple of huge at bats.
Sorry, it's 5-0 Cubs. I guess that was a foul ball.
Love it. Love it. 5-0 Cubs. Mookie Betts, just absolutely showing why he's the leader of this team, dude. When Shohei gets intentionally walked, who goes and has the at-bat of the game and walks to drive in the tying run? It was just big league to a T, and I just want to say, Mookie, captain, my captain.
Yeah, because, you know, truthfully, the Dodgers' big guns in this game, though, they struggled. You know, Freddie had a rough game. Teo had a really bad at bat with the bases loaded and two outs against Duran. He swung at three balls out of the zone after Duran just walked Mookie. So it was kind of like, terrible. Man, he really just gave that at bat away. But you know, so the Dodgers' big guns got a little bailed out in this game. But really, I attribute that to Philly's pitching too. I think Philly's really, really pitched well. I mean,
absolutely.
You want to knock them, but, like, dude, Lizardo and Sanchez were just pumping the strike zone, dude. Like they were throwing strikes
absolutely
constantly. Absolutely. And it's like, so at a certain point, like when guys are, when they're on, sometimes there's just nothing you can do, and you just have to you just have to match it. And that was one of those games. But you know, I know we wanted to talk a little bit about Shohei. He's really pressing, and it's pretty obvious. He did not have a good series, and I'm glad we won this series so that we can have a reset, because we'd be talking about Shohei right now if the Dodgers didn't win this series. He's 1-for-18, and you know, he has an RBI single, and that's it. And he struck out a bunch. He struck out two more times today, and it just feels like the lefties that Philly had were peppering him with fastballs inside. And he was going at them every time. He just wouldn't take that pitch. He kept swinging at it, and then because of that, he was ditching. He was curveballs away. He was just like kicking out and ditching it, and it's just like,
yeah. And some of those breaking balls, like some of those changeups that Sanchez were throwing, were just landing like center cut of the plate, 88 miles an hour, and it's just strike three, just watching. Yeah. You know, and then he starts looking for soft, and then, you know, strike three, it's 99 down the middle. It's just that, how many times did we see that this series? So the days off will do him good. Hopefully, like you said, that the Dodgers will already be working on changes to their approach, you know, tonight, tomorrow, then obviously this weekend. But Jess, you got a little note here. The Phillies pitching was great, but their top three hitters were bad.
I want to say about Orion Kerkering, it's like this game was not on Orion Kerkering.
Absolutely.
They shouldn't. If you're a Philly fan, you shouldn't get too mad at him, because realistically, this was a tough series for your top three in general. I know Schwarber had two bombs yesterday, but like Harper today, 0-for-4. Schwarber, 1-for-5. Turner, 0-for-5. Like, those are the big guys, man, you know?
Before the series started, we were talking about our X factors, right? And I named Trey Turner for the Phillies and Teoscar Hernandez for the Dodgers. Teo, enough said, right? We've talked enough about him. But Trey Turner was pretty auspiciously missing from the dish most of the series. Had a couple of knocks in that blowout win. But aside from that, was kind of a non-factor. Some great defensive plays. We saw when he did get on base, you know, he was a threat to steal. I think he took a couple of bags. But other than that, was a non-factor. JT Realmuto was like really the only consistent offense that we saw. And it just kind of wasn't enough. And when I think, you know, you got two teams that are pretty evenly matched, and I do think the Dodgers have more talent, when the little things just compound like we see over a series, like, we get little bonehead plays like that. You just see guys pressing, trying to make the perfect play, and it just happens. It sucks, but that is baseball. But, Jess, it leads me to my question, a big question that I have for you. Now that we've gone through all the numbers, all the plays, we watched it all, we lived the anxiety. Jess, was this more of a Dodgers win or a Phillies collapse?
No. Dodgers beat the Phillies. I don't think that you were watching the first two games of the series if you really believe that the Phillies collapsed here, because Dodgers were up 2-0 in this series because they outplayed the Phillies in Philadelphia, like clear as day, outplayed them. And I think they outpitched him too. Like, the only reason why Philly scored 8 was because of the Kershaw blow up. Otherwise, like, the Dodgers were, I think, clearly the better team, and I think they would tell you that too. I don't think that they would say that, like, oh, we. I think they'd feel like they gave it away, but I think that they would also give credit. And most Philly fans would say, no, the Dodgers were just a better baseball team. You can't expect to be down 2-0 heading into another team's stadium, and then have the right to say, oh, we gave this away. No, the Dodgers pitching shut down your best hitters all series, with the exception of one game. You know, they did their job, and you know, we got the timely hits. And the only reason why game two was close was because of the Blake Treinen decision. Otherwise,
yes,
goes to Roki there. What we've seen from Roki this series, you think the same thing happens when Treinen? You know, no, it's what would have been a much different outcome. So I think the Dodgers handled business and proved that they were a better team.
I think I agree with that take, man. I was tossing and turning on it a little bit because I was like, man, it really felt like the Phillies just about did everything right. You know what I mean? It felt like they did just enough to win the game, but they didn't. You know, you got to actually, like they say in boxing, they say in MMA, right? You got to beat the champ. Well, they had opportunities. You know, they had some men on. They didn't bring them in. They had runners in scoring position, didn't bring them in. And it was the difference. And, you know, to your point, if you weren't watching the first two games of the series, you know, it wasn't a Phillies collapse. It was the Dodgers doing what they do and just constantly applying pressure. And if you make a mistake, they were going to take advantage. And
they just got outlasted time and again. The Dodgers outlasted.
I agree, man. It was a stressful series, though. Even though
it goes down, was very close. Yeah, you know, yeah. So
very competitive series. So Jess, we've got our first two official tickets punched to the championship series in the American League. The Blue Jays just dog walked the Yankees. Just absolutely showed that they were the superior team, and our boys in blue just did the same to the Phillies. I mean, this is going to be a big change in Philadelphia. Don't get it twisted. People are losing their jobs. It's yet to be seen if maybe Schwarber returns, what kind of direction they go in. But needless to say, the window is rapidly closing in Philly. So look for an exciting offseason. And no disrespect to Philly. I thought I loved watching that team all year. I thought they were good enough to win the World Series, and beating them, you know, makes me feel like the best team left in the playoffs is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Not that the Phillies were better, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Blue Jays are clearly good, and I think that, you know, they're going to be, if the Dodgers do face them in the World Series, they're going to be a problem for sure, because they, you know, they make a lot of contact. They don't strike out a lot. And, you know, the Dodgers pitching is really designed to not give up home runs, get some strikeouts. Yeah. And, you know, the Blue Jays kind of are the opposite of that kind of team. So they could give the Dodgers some problems. But, yeah, I do think that the Dodgers are the best team left in the playoffs right now. I think they're playing the best. I mean, after losing yesterday, that snapped a 9-game winning streak that the Dodgers were on. So they are 10-1 in their last 11 games. So they're hot right now. They're playing great baseball. They look very, very hard to beat. And I think that if they keep pitching this way, the way that they did in three of these four games, just – I don't know how you're going to beat him, because the offense is going to come around eventually. And yeah, so you got to ask, you know, I'm watching the Cubs Brewers right now. It's 5-0 Cubs in the eighth. Looks like they're probably going to hang on, force game five. Would you rather face the Brewers or the Cubs?
Man, it's tough, right? I know you know this, but maybe new listeners don't. But I've been talking about the Cubs as a thorn in this Dodger team's side. They won the season series against us handedly. Very potent offense. But boy, those Brewers look nasty. They are a complete team. That pitching staff is just loaded. They can smash you to death. Jackson Chourio is looking great. Contreras is looking great. You know, the ghost of Christian Yelich is still doing his thing. But, dude, I think I got to say I'd rather see those Cubbies, dude. Give me those Wrigley rats and let's beat them to death and go back to the show, dude. We are on a mission to repeat, baby. And there ain't no time for losers because we are the champions of the world.
I think that you have to – the answer has to be the Cubs, because if you look at the pitching, I think that the Dodgers are a bad matchup for the Cubs pitching staff, where I do think that the Brewers – they have so many different arms they can throw at you. They have such good bullpen. They really mix and match well. I think that would be a much lower scoring series than Dodgers versus Cubs. And I think the Dodgers in a high scoring series, I think it favors the Dodgers. So I would like to face the Cubs. We do have, so it looks like we're going to have two game fives here, which is good for the Dodgers. That means that the Brewers are going to, Brewers or Cubs are going to have, are going to be a little gassed by the time that series ends. But
not mad
tomorrow, we got a Tigers Mariners. We have the presumed Cy Young winner, Tarik Skubal versus George Kirby. Game five in Seattle. This one is This is scary for the Mariners, who I picked to make the World Series this year. Who you got? This is a going to be a great game, I think.
It's hard, dude. In a one of one winner take all, it's hard to bet against Skubal at all, dude. But October is weird, as we all know. And I think those seamen are going to find a way to just squirt past these fighting kitty cats, dude. I think the Tigers are going down despite Skubal's best efforts. I think the Mariners are, as we say, will outlast, and we'll see them face the Blue Jays in the championship
series. Yeah, this game has like 3-2 or 4-3 written all over it. This is going to be a really, really close game. It's like, I think the Tigers are going to need Skubal to go like 7 or 8 innings, I think, to win this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're going to need like a vintage performance. Like, I don't know where the Tigers get their runs from, you know, like they don't score a ton of runs. And I think that this is going to be a low scoring game. Mariners are going to take it, and they're going to go on to face the Blue Jays. And we'll preview that series when it comes. But, Brando, Dodgers are moving on.
Dude,
and they are having an honorable championship defense by winning two postseason series to get back to the league championship series. It's been just a great time to be a Dodger fan, baby.
Absolutely, brother. And it's been a great time to be a co-host of this lovely podcast, Deferred Collusion, your blue-collar boys. We've been pumping it out for the postseason for you. You know who it is. It's your boy, the King of Crespi, the Lord of all Ireland, dude. The King of Ireland himself, dude. Jesse, rock and roll, he's shredding on the synthesizer. Your boy, Brandon Bollinger, dude. The fucking Lord Paramount of the South Bay. I'm so fired up. We're going to the championship series. It was sketchy. I was anxiety riddled, sweating like a fat pig, texting Jesse that this is all just absolute dog shit. But here we are, brother. Popping champagne. I'm going to just take the weekend off. Breathe easy, brother, because that anxiety is coming like a freight train.
We got a few days off, man. This is great. Like, enjoy it. Go out, take your missus, take your family, whatever. Go have a nice weekend, because it's gonna get real stressful next week. So make sure you
absolutely
and enjoy yourself. So
yeah, and while you're out there, don't forget to give us a like, hit us with a comment, tell us what you like, what you think we missed. Tell your friends, we love you, and remember, we're your blue collar boys. We love you. We got your back. What do you want from us? We'll give it to you. Jesse, I love you, buddy. This is the best. I'm stoked we're going to the NLCS, brother.
I am too. Let's before go. We go,
dude,
I'm gonna end on just one note. Alex Call got on base both times at the plate tonight, one for one with a walk. Alex Call, truther pod right here. We're out. See you later.